This is your World War III update. Day X is approaching. I'm going to start off with the big picture bird's eye view perspective, and then we're going to break it down into the microscopic bits and pieces of all the data that I've aggregated for you today. Things that you are not going to hear anywhere else, certainly not in one place, and certainly not woven into a fine avant-garde tapestry of speculation as you are accustomed to. Now, yesterday I made a video called Day X. I would encourage you to go and watch that video because it explains why there is this postponement and why there is this patient amongst the adversaries of the United States who should have probably acted a long time ago but haven't. And it's because they know that a day is coming where synchronized attacks against the United States, which are going to blindside the transatlantic alliance, are in the cards. This is what Alexander Vučić, the president of Serbia, was warning us about 2 months ago when he said that World War III is probably going to start in 3 months. Well, we're almost there. Everything seems to be converging in September as a timeline. General Soleimani, before he died, had the dream or the vision of a synchronized attack by the entire axis of resistance throughout the Middle East on the United States and its Israeli vassal or vice versa, whatever you want to say. Everybody's got a different theory about that. That was his plan, okay, to have all of the axis act in unison. Now, you're noticing right now that there's a lot of quiet on the entire front, almost as if everybody is getting ready for a major conflict within the region. All of this talk about ceasefire negotiations, it's all just sanctimonious bluster by the West to try to paint the Iranians as the aggressors and vilify them more when they do inevitably retaliate for having somebody terminated on their sovereign soil, which of course I think any country would likely want to retaliate for that. But what they're going to try to do now is hype up this so-called peace negotiation, which I should add, the Iranians have indicated that they're willing to send a delegation there. However, the Israelis have said that they'll back out of the peace negotiations if the Iranians are there. So the whole thing is just doomed to failure. It's all just a show. That proves that it's all a show. This is why Anthony Blinken has canceled his trip to the Middle East, and he cited concerns about security. This is not something that typically happens, okay? Now, if the axis of resistance does a coordinated attack against all American bases, against the Israelis, that is going to be unexpected because we've become accustomed to doing these wars in a way which is sequential as opposed to all at once. But if there indeed is, if this vision of the late Soleimani is finally realized, and all of the axis right now is finally prepared, and the reason why Iran has not struck yet is because, as I indicated in that video yesterday, they're not preparing for a strike against Israel. They're preparing for the war, the massive war that ensues thereafter. And in fact, the IRGC has said as much, that they're preparing for a long battle. What they're doing right now in Iran is running a series of exercises. Every day it's another exercise. And the whole purpose of this is subterfuge. It's to create white noise so that the intelligence gatherers on the other end can't ascertain whether it's real world or exercise. And this lends more credence to my saying, there is no military exercises, only World War III disguises. This rings true perfectly today, in the age of satellite surveillance. The only way to effectively conduct subterfuge is to do it in such a way where it appears as though you're constantly getting ready to attack and that you hope that the adversary becomes complacent or confused, and so they never know the exact moment that attack is going to come. Now, the reason why the Iranians have to act, okay, is because Trump very well could be coming back to office. It doesn't matter who gets into office, there's going to be a war in the Middle East. Because remember, all of this, like, I mean, Iran attacking Israel has happened on, and Israel, of course, attacking Iran has happened on the Democrats' watch. All of the escalation that we've seen, so it, left or right, it doesn't matter, guys. Okay, in fact, I want your candidate to win, no matter who it is. I want it to win just so you can see that nothing fundamentally will change. The system has to crash. Trump could be coming back to office. So the Iranians know that a fight is coming. If Trump gets back in office, there will 99.999% chance be a war with Iran. There's no doubt about it because, of course, they have a warrant for his arrest. They still have been biding their time and wanting retribution for Soleimani's death. COVID happened. Recall, if COVID did happen, something probably would have continued to escalate with respect to that situation. But COVID threw everything for a loop. Now, Iran has claimed that they've rejected calls to de-escalate. And it's important to understand, Haniya, the guy who was assassinated in Iran, the Iranians don't particularly care about that, okay? They care about the fact that Israel is trying to start a fight. And why Israel is trying to start a fight is, you know, that's a subject of debate. But I think that it's because they realize that Iran, as I stated in my video yesterday about Day X, is about to achieve what I called escape velocity. Meaning that they're an emerging power in the region, and the point in which you are able to quell them is there's a very short window left to do that. And if you don't act now, they're going to achieve escape velocity, and this is due to a variety of factors, things which were not the case 5 years ago. Okay, Iran is in a much better bargaining position than they were, militarily and economically. And it's not just because Biden gave him a few billion dollars. This is a country of 80 million people with a GDP north of, I think it's over $1 to $2 trillion a year. So it's not a country to, it's not a pushover country that is requiring this pittance of a few billion dollars from Joe Biden. That's just propaganda nonsense. Plus, now they've established soft power with a lot of the countries who are bucking the U.S. sanctions. The bipolar, multipolar world is emerging. It's a much different situation. The U.S. is no longer in Afghanistan. They're in a weaker position militarily. They're bogged down in Ukraine. The list goes on and on and on. This is a different world, people. Okay? So the U.S. rushing all of this military equipment there tells you that they're very concerned, and they're trying to send one last signal to Iran that they mean business. But the question is Iran still going to back down? Because Iran has been biding their time. This is what they've been doing for years and years, just stockpiling and planning and amassing more and more weapons. This is what the entire Axis has been doing. North Korea in particular, China as well, stockpiling stuff. The Russians, they're all preparing day after day because they know that a war is going to come. It is not going to be a mutually assured destruction thing. Most people are going to survive, but it's going to be shit hits the fan. It is going to be a combination of conventional and non-conventional warfare. If they believed, if they truly believed, do you think you're telling me that they would be investing billions of dollars in all these conventional military exercises if they truly thought that if they went to war with Russia on the first day, the world would end? Of course they wouldn't. Those are occupying forces, okay? There is a practical role for them even in the case of a nuclear conflict. But they are preparing those forces to go to war with Russia because I think what we've been told about nuclear war, especially nowadays when it's not going to be 70,000 nukes, it's going to be a couple thousand, which is still a lot, but it's not 70,000 nukes just fired everywhere haphazardly without any accuracy. It is going to be a cunning intelligence war, which is all about preemption. and just leverage. So it's not just going to be about wholesale carpet bombing using nukes of cities. That's not what it's going to be. And that's the scary part, because that means it's more feasible. Russia knows this, China knows this, Iran knows this. So that's what's going on in a regional sense in the Middle East. The war with Iran is coming. It has nothing to do with the assassination. It does a little bit, but that is just the straw that kind of broke the camel's back. That was a shot across the bow from Israel that was notifying Iran that, like, we're ready to go to war. Iran is not going to just take the bait, okay? They need to play this very intelligently. They have Vladimir Putin on their side, who is probably giving them advice on what moves they should make, but little do they know, or perhaps they do, Vladimir Putin has a vested interest in Iran bogging down the United States and Israel. And 150 Tomahawk missiles, even if they're nuclear tipped, ain't even going to put a dent in the situation. What it will do is they'll probably drop some kind of dirty bomb on Iran's nuclear facilities, limiting access to their 70 massive underground facilities. There's probably a lot more than that. And these are very elaborate, modern, and deep military facilities that probably won't even be shook by a bunker-busting nuclear weapon. But what they will be shook by is the radiation that ensues thereafter, which will limit access to those facilities. So, but Iran is prepared. So they got these S-400s. That's the rumor on the street now. The consensus is, the unofficial consensus is, Russia probably gave them S-400 missile defense, which is proven to be the most effective missile defense system in the world, which isn't really saying a lot if the Ukrainians are still flying F-16s all over the place. Now, there's range limitations. There's a lot of other factors to consider, but, you know, just take it with a grain of salt, too, that just because they have S-400s doesn't mean they're going to be shooting down every F-35 that comes within line of sight. So, but it complicates the situation a lot, because it also is a statement by Russia that they have Iran's back, despite the fact that they don't want to be overtly in support of Iran in defiance of Israel, because the large population of Russians currently in the country of Israel, probably dual citizens with a lot of family members back home in Russia. So it's a fine diplomatic line that Putin has to walk. But ultimately, militarily, it makes more sense to fight against who they view as Americans. And you'll notice they'll never say the Israelis, right? Even when they'll never condemn the Israelis, they'll always condemn the Americans, because they believe that that is who is puppeteering the Israelis. They believe that Israel is a vassal state of the United States. It's probably more along the lines of they're synonymous, in that Israel is just another state. I wouldn't even say it's necessarily a vassal state. It's really just another state in terms of the military capability. They have weapons that not even the United States has, that the United States invented. So the fact that they're allowed, you know, to do all these things with impunity and top secret classified everything access is a sign that they're just, you know, they're another state. So that's what the Russians have to view it in those terms, whilst trying to play it cool in the other regions because of the situation going on in Syria. Now, there's some information spreading. It is quite possibly disinformation that Iran is planning on testing nuclear weapon detonators. This comes from an Iranian international news source, which is one of those Moscow Times situations where it's actually probably based out of some emirate state or something like that, that is adversarial towards the Iranians. So take it with a grain of salt, but they're saying that the Iranians are back working on nuclear detonators. I mean, there probably is truth to it and falsity, because they likely are, have been doing it for a long time. Of course, why wouldn't you, when your primary general is assassinated by the United States and you know Trump is probably coming back? If Trump comes back, it's guaranteed war. If Kamala's in there, maybe that can gets kicked down the road and they keep doing this balancing act where they keep this horizontal escalation going in the Middle East, and they try to keep the same thing going. They keep escalating massively into Russia. But Russia's final button is about to be pushed as well, because they're getting ready to do some crazy shit that we're going to talk about today, okay? So Anthony Blinken canceled his trip due to uncertainty about the situation. I didn't say this, but a couple days ago, the deputy prime minister of Iran resigned from his post. This is significant because he was anti-war. He claimed that his services were no longer needed. Now, some people are citing wokeism as the reason why he left. Social, political, cultural issues, differences of opinion, a divergence of opinion with the prime minister who he supported. But others are saying it's because he was anti-war and the decision been made had to go to war. And he's not about that. So the U.S. evacuation of Iraq is expected to be worse than Saigon and Kabul, Vietnam and Kabul. So expect that. Now, why they've announced that all of a sudden now, I'm sure that plays into the calculus of what is going on there as well. None of these things are to be viewed in isolation. All of these data points, as we descend deeper towards day X, as that, what do you call it, the great attractor of day X right now approaches, everything, the interdependency of everything increases. So when something happens in Russia, the ripple effect is much bigger in Iran from this day forward, and it's only going to increase. Russia benefits by Iran going to war. That is why they're providing them with the means to embolden them to go on the attack. And right now is probably as good as it's going to get for Iran and the axis of resistance, and they know it. If Trump gets back into office, it's going to be a green light for Israel to do whatever they want. And Israel just got another $18 billion in weapons that they're going to buy, okay? Yeah, sure. Whatever you say, we'll buy with the however many billions of dollars you get every year. Now, Trump is, of course, saying that Iran is not going to attack and blah, blah, blah. Well, newsflash, they've already attacked. They attacked Israel once with 300 missiles and drones, and that was telegraphed. It's not like this time where they're doing the subterfuge thing where they've got the white noise of all of these various exercises trying to mask the true attack that is going to come at some point down the road. And Trump, unfortunately, and I have nothing against Trump per se more than I would any other politician. In fact, I hope that your politician of choice, whoever wins, wins, just so you can realize in 4 years that it didn't make a damn difference. Okay, because there are forces greater at work. It's a combination of market forces, movers and shakers, deep state act, whatever you want to call it. But not much is going to change fundamentally. In fact, a lot of what you are hearing from these guys, the opposite is true. So even the Russians today have stated that it was under Trump's reign that relationships between Russia and the United States deteriorated the most. And that was true, of course, when Trump pulled out of the, what was it called, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which was fundamental at preventing escalation. And this is part of the reason why Vladimir Putin pulled the trigger. Now, if you're Iran and you know that Trump is coming back, then you're going to pull the trigger before that when they're weaker, right? So, and maybe they think they can keep Kamala in there. And again, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. At the end of the day, the result is still going to be total chaos. But one thing about Trump, I think that a lot of people are running on the fumes of past American achievements. And this was best exemplified and embodied in Hulk Hogan taking off his shirt at the RNC. Now, admittedly, it was a cool scene, okay? It was cool, like, just to see that, you know, you get flashbacks of WrestleMania when wrestling was still kind of good. And, you know, but the thing is that it's like old war stories. It's like listening to this guy relive his old glory days. And I'm just talking about the whole spectacle of what we've become here in North America, where, you know, that was the peak. during those days. The 80s was the peak, the action films, the pop culture in general. Not only that, it was the peak of a combination of American hard and soft power in the world. And since that point, it has been dwindling rapidly, and as our debt has been rising. But you got to ask yourself, where was the younger wrestlers who supported Trump there? Where were, you know, why did you have a 51-year-old Kid Rock? I mean, is that the best that they could muster? And again, this is not a slight against Trump, guys. I know there's, I'm not a Trump derangement person. In fact, I abhor people who are stricken with that. As much as I abhor people who are stricken with Kamala derangement syndrome, believe it or not, I don't have anything. I mean, there's nothing there. It's just, you know, what's there to criticize, right? It's just, you know, at least with Trump, he's entertaining. So I guess, you know, do you want the guy to entertain you while the world burns, or do you want some airhead just telling you what, you know, anyways, let's not get into it, because there's so many people who are so easily triggered. And if you're a prepper, and you're so oversensitive about those things, I mean, we're talking about shit hits the fan. We're talking about people kicking in your door in the middle of the night and doing the worst kind of things to you and your family just so they can get your stuff. So who gives a shit about politics at this stage in the game when day X is approaching? That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the objective material reality of this shit. So, you know, keep your politics at home. If it offends you that I say something about your favorite politician, then just don't watch the fucking videos. At this point, I don't care. I really don't care. I don't have any patience for this shit anymore. I love you guys. I really do. But I'm not going to cater to your little snowflake sensitivities anymore. Gold had a record closing price today. Okay? Again, I mean, yeah, it's just, it's a footnote now. It's not even worth talking about anymore. Russia is transferring troops from Kaliningrad to Kursk. Belarus is also transferring troops. There's all kinds of mixed reports about what's happening on the Kursk front. But one thing is for sure, the Ukrainians are digging trenches inside of Russia. Okay? The Ukrainians are digging trenches inside of Russia. Oh, boy. Depending on who you talk to, the offensive is still making progress. It appears as though the consensus is now that, for the most part, aside some pinprick, micro salience of sorts, there isn't a whole lot going on in terms of new ground that is being accumulated, but nonetheless, the damage has been done. And this has caused the rerouting of a lot of Russian forces, but it's kind of backfired in a way also. If you listen to the Russian media, they're claiming that enlistment is now doubling as a result of this invasion. So it's backfired in the sense that now it's allowing Russia to mobilize much faster. Although rumor has it, and this is from Ukrainian media, and usually, historically, their track record isn't that good, in that if they say something is the case, it's probably the opposite. So they are saying that the Russians are going to be forced to mobilize by the end of this year. Another partial mobilization, just like it was a special military operation, okay? So Russia is trenching in right now. Hundreds of thousands of people have been evacuated from the Kursk region, and there's been another state of emergency issued in Belgorod, meaning that another major evacuation is about to be underway in that region. Russia continues to have its air bases targeted in Voronezh and Moscow. Medvedev has now officially threatened to take out and assassinate Volodymyr Zelensky. And that new mobilization was actually according to Bloomberg. So, I mean, whatever. Bloomberg, Ukraine. I mean, at this point, can you tell them apart? Poland is is training with F-16s to target Kaliningrad. So they were running various exercises today that simulated on multiple occasions. I think it was like, they did the exercise like 40 times or something. It was a bunch of X-16s that simulated an attack on Kaliningrad. Now, you know, if they're going for Kaliningrad, they're using tactical nukes on these F-16s, okay? And the reason why the F-16 is so important is because that's the new leg up. That's what's going to be interoperable with the Ukrainians as well. So that is very important that Poland is training to go to war with Kaliningrad. And there's been a lot of military activity within that region. I got an email from my contact in Poland today. I did not read it yet. I probably should have before I decided to publish this video, because they always have useful information and they've been very well ahead of the curve. According to Igor Kirillov, he is the head of the NBC protection. He feels that there is likely a dirty bomb in Ukraine. Okay, now this is a rumor that's been floated since late 2022. It's necessitated a lot of phone calls between Lloyd Austin and Shoigu back in the day. And I would not be surprised at this point in time if we don't see something like that. Because the thing with the dirty bomb, in contrast with a nuclear bomb, is that it's a great way to create a barrier. A barrier, there's fallout, but then there's Chernobyl level of radioactivity, which can almost act as an invisible barrier for an army. So if you wanted to block access to a certain place, you detonate a dirty bomb, and it's almost like, you know, taking out a bridge to somewhere, or just making a region impassable. Now, the Russians used to train for scenarios like this, which is why they have NBC equipment in the first place. But something to keep in mind is that Ukraine does have nuclear power plants. They have the ability to enrich uranium. They have the Soviet brain power still that could potentially, ostensibly create a nuclear weapon, you would think. They have the means to do it. They're starting to develop various deployment systems. And of course, now they're in possession of the F-16s, which Lindsey Graham is excited to let you guys know, as yours truly indicated months ago before anybody else, and that's why you watch this channel, that indeed it is going to be probably American volunteers flying those F-16s. What he's saying is that's already happening. Trust me. Google AdSense has been canceled in Russia. Guys, you need to understand that the Iron Curtain is back. The Iron Curtain. Think about what's happening in North Korea right now. Do you know what's happening in North Korea? No. Do you know that North Korea wouldn't mind if many of us were probably dead? Yes. That's a problem. Okay, and so this digital firewall, that is this digital Iron Curtain, which is currently being rolled out, is going to make the situation much, much worse. That in itself is a sign that things are getting really, really bad. Watch my video on day X yesterday. This is one of the telltale signs that day X is approaching. That fateful day when all of our adversaries, in a synchronized fashion, preempt our preemption of nuclear attack, and all things go to hell. And this, it might seem innocuous that YouTube has canceled AdSense in Russia, but Russia right now is in the process of throttling YouTube servers there. So you can't really access YouTube anymore. So what that means is that they're not going to get our perspective, and we're going to get less and less of theirs. Say what you will about Scott Ritter, but he was recently had his cage rattled by the FBI, who went and flipped his house upside down, looking for evidence of something, of him being a foreign agent, which, like we've said, I'm amazed that it hasn't happened up until this point. Regardless, they're starting to crack down. And that is what you're going to see more and more of. Ukraine is the blueprint. That is going to be replicated everywhere. What happens in Ukraine will happen here. What happened to Gonzalo Lira, okay? the guy that the State Department knew was there in custody of the Ukrainian government completely illegitimately from our point of view. There was no reason why calls to have him return. Whether you like the guy or not and his coach Red Pill or not, that's irrelevant. The fact that the State Department did absolutely nothing tells you everything you need to know about how they're going to trust true free-thinking individuals when the shit hits the fan. It's coming. And we all need to prepare for it. So, that's what's going down. Keep on prepping, my friends. Please go check out the DayX video, because it's a concept that I want to bring into the nomenclature of preparedness. And I'm going to be doing a video in probably the next week or so, which talks about what you can do in the run-up to day X. If it's 10 days out, 30 days out, 100 days out, just a mental exercise to prepare. Well, what would we do if we knew the big one was 10 days out? What would we do if we knew it was 30 days out, 100 days out? I'll tell you what I would do, okay? And we have another video coming up in the next couple days, which talks about myths of nuclear war. I'm going to show you what I'm doing on the homestead lately. Built a greenhouse, massive greenhouse. Been working really hard around the homestead, just trying to get the food game up. Haven't gotten into the animal husbandry thing. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get into that this year, which is why I'm hoping things don't pop off, because I would like to get some chickens in the deck before the shizzy hits the fizzy. I might, but it's just, we got so much going on here right now that it's so hectic. But keep stocking up, okay? Keep prepping, because everything is just wired to the same fuse right now. And while it seems like there's this calm, it's only appears that way because we've become so desensitized to unprecedented events that it, you know, every week there's something new and unprecedented that happens. And when that happens so often, it almost starts to seem like nothing. You just start to feel numb. But things are happening, and they're happening very, very fast. Day X is fast approaching. It's a matter of, I don't want to say what length of time we're looking at, but the day is approaching, and it's getting shorter every day, not further away at this point in time. Thanks for watching, folks. Take care. Canadian Prepper out.